Chavis Lavovis, at the end of Perek Vav in Shaar Bitachin, discussing when we started last week the group of people that he calls the Kat HaMemashkenes Hashem, people that like to take a collateral from the Ribbono Shelom. They say, listen here, Ribbono Shelom, we're happy to dedicate our lives to Avedas Hashem, but we want to be financially stable beforehand. Therefore, make sure that I have enough money for myself and for my wife and for my children and grandchildren. I save all there is. And as soon as I got what I need, then I'm dedicated. I'll spend my nights and days serving you, Ribbono Shelom. And he said, there's seven different reasons why such a taina is ridiculous. The first three we mentioned last week. The first one is that no sane employee would come to his boss and say before he starts working, by the way, if you don't mind paying me up front for the first 2 weeks of work, just to make sure that you're going to pay me. You say, no problem. You want your money, walk outside, find yourself a new job. Certainly, Kol Shekein, no one would ever do that. An Eved would never do that to an Adrin who doesn't even have to pay him at all. And certainly not a human being to the Ribbono Shelom. The second thing is because, what type of time is it that I want to be financially stable? How long are you planning on living? How many children are you planning on having? How many grandchildren are you planning on having? How much food do you need? You know what inflation is going to be like? How do you know how much money you're going to need to be financially stable, to have whatever, not just financial stability, he wants to have whatever he needs till end of time, till the end of his life. There's no way to know that, so he's never really going to finish. And the third reason that he said is that no one asks a collateral from somebody else if he's mechuyev to the person who he's asking collateral from a lot of money from the past. You owe him tens of thousands of dollars, and now he comes to borrow $1,000 and you want a collateral. Hello, my friends, you owe him so much more than he owes you that it's a chutzpah to even ask. And we owe so much to Ribbono Shelolam for the past however many years that we've been living that it doesn't pass to ask for the mashkin for the Ribbono Shelolam. Those are the first three things. He says the Chavis Lavav, as he continues, that why does somebody take a collateral from somebody that he lends money to, or he sells something to? One of three reasons. Either, the first reason is maybe the guy's going to become poor, he's not going to have enough money to pay back his chayv. The second, the second reason is maybe the person has money, but he's just going to say, no, I'm not paying you back, and then he's going to go and schlep it out, and machulo, I don't need this headaches, I just want the money. The third is, he's scared that the person is going to book out or he's going to pass away, then he's not going to be able to get the chayv. So he wants to have some sort of guarantee that he's going to be able to get the chayv without an issue, and therefore he takes the collateral. Somebody has a mashkin, he trufish lo yizbo mi mikri melu, hasu yumeit likru zetzel b'nei adam. Ula mi lo haya adam zeh batuach shlikru lechavir shlesh zeh mikram olalu, shu chayshish mihem, az bli safik shu megun mitzil mashkin zchaviri. But if a person was certain that none of these three things would happen, the person's not going to die, and the person's not going to run away, and he's going to have money, and he's not going to deny that he owes, and he's going to pay me back, and there's no reason to take the mashkin. If you're 100% certain, no reason to take the mashkin. And no one would do that. So if that's the case, so, imkein, alachas kam v'kamo, shekinuz gedoy levatumi, mitzidu l'mashkin sabari yisbarach. Shemikum eilun leishayachem etzlei klal, kvarmer apostik liyakesev liyazov, nu mashim tzvokoyiz, v'amarvoyish v'kovenu l'fanecho. To go ask him to Ribbono Shelolam is not running anywhere. Ribbono Shelolam has no problem paying. Ribbono Shelolam has given us so much in the past already. Liyakesev liyazov. There's a problem that Ribbono Shelolam is not going to have money. There's none of these things passed b'chlal by the Ribbono Shelolam that a person should want to take a mashkin. What's going to be in the end of time? He's not going to be able to. He might not have money, he might not be able to work. And a story that happened in Zmanim that just points out this, shows that there's so many ways for the Ribbono Shelolam to give somebody money. A relative of mine was in a boys' day camp here in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the days they sent everybody out to Geula, and they had to take pictures. They split up the bunks into different groups, and they had to take pictures of 20 different things that they had on their... They have to take a picture of, you know, a person stuck and a person unstuck and a whole bunch of things. One of the things that they had to take a picture of was going into a person's house and making supper for them. You have to go knock on a person's house and make supper for them. So, this relative of mine, his group, about 5-6 people with their counselor, they were in Meir Sharm at the time. They knock on the door, the person opens the door, and they say in their broken English, Kilu, as if they're really Israelis. But we're from American camp, and we have a whole list of things we're supposed to be doing. Do you mind if we take a picture here in your kitchen? So sure enough, the lady takes them into the kitchen. There's a pot of soup on the fire, and they pretend that they're stirring the soup. They put on an apron and the whole thing. Take a picture, terrific. Okay, so before they leave, the lady says, we're making a chasana. Boys from America, streets are paved with gold. We're making a chasana, and in a few weeks, and we need help. Okay, so the counselor pulls out 200 shekel, gives it to him, and the boys get together, give another few shekel, 210 shekel, I think it was, and they that's it. And they're off and running. Now, if this lady sat down 20 minutes earlier, and she's thinking, how am I going to get money for the chasana? I understand 200 shekels is not going to make a chasana. That's not the point. She's thinking to herself, how am I going to get money for the chasana? I'm going to call this person, I'm going to get that person, I'm going to work extra hours, I'm going to ask for a loan, I'm going to this. Never in her wildest dreams would she think that a bunch of American boys are going to come flying into her kitchen and depositing money and running off before they can even say boo. Right? Never. It's just a way to show, it's like a little reminder from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. There's plenty of different ways for you to get the money. Happy Tochen, Liyah Kesef, V'Liyah Zov, and V'Liyah Efshariyah to get you the money. The person's worried what's going to be when he's retired and he's not able to work and his children, his grandchildren, and what's that time? Rebbeinu Shlom has unlimited money and unlimited of ways of getting people that money. A person that takes a mashkin, the reason why he does that is because you want to be nene from the mashkin. Instead of having to go bedina vadaino and try to collect the choiv, you have the mashkin, you got the guy's gold watch, and that's it. You're good to go. You'll enjoy it. Aval elu atoinim shekasher abor yiten lehem mireish dey sipukam otzi yelem minuchas hanefesh midaigoyz. A person takes the collateral because he wants to be secure. He wants to have security, he wants to be ruhig, he wants to be calm, cool and collect that he has whatever he needs, he's not scared that he's going to lose his money. So this person that says to Rebbeinu Shlom, listen here, I want to make all the money that I need to support myself for my entire life before I'm Ovid you, so I know that I can be Ovid you and I'll be Ragua. He says, Lav Dafka, that the money that you have here will always stay by you. Who says that you're going to be, let's say you get it, you decided that you need $14.6 million till the end of your life. You get it. You get the $14.6 million. How do you know that in 5 years you're still going to have it? How do you know in 10 years you're going to still have it? Not only that, who says that money is not the only thing that gives a person stability? There's financial stability, there's a lot of other things. Just because he has money doesn't mean that everything is going to be rude, he's going to be calm. And with Tam Reis, if he just adds, another reason why it's ridiculous, Taino, person says, listen here, I want to be calm and I want to be ruig when I'm serving the Rebbeinu Shalom, so Rebbeinu Shalom makes sure that I have all the money that I need and then I'll be able to serve you. A lot of times it's exactly fakir. The more money, the more daigas. Marbin Khosim Marbadaigas. So he's asking the Rebbeinu Shalom to have the $10 million that he needs to make it through the next 30 years of his life. When it's good for this money, which is going to cause him to be not ruig, fakir, ma'arvin echosam ma'arvadaiga, and mamela, a person doesn't. There's no such thing as putting money. What do you mean? I'll put my money in the bank account, and that's it. No one puts their money in the bank account nowadays. You lose money if you put money in the bank account. With inflation and with everything else, and it's pushing here and the 0.006% of his, what they give you back on your ribbit, so your interest. So that's you're losing money, so you have to invest it. Where are you going to invest it? I know a person that he invested with one of these people that was found out to be a fraud after many years, and he used to give each one of his grandchildren that got married, he would give them $50,000. He says, now I'm left with pennies. I can't even give them $5. He says, after the Talmud blew up, he wasn't able to. So it was all the money, and he invested it. Since he had money, since he had so much money, he was able to invest in it. And that's what made it that he doesn't have any money at the end of the day, unfortunately. And Bechlal, a person's worried with all his, what's going to be? He has so many, his apartments, who's going to take care of it? His investment, the real estate. Bechulu. If a person realized that the person that he's lending money to is going to pay you back before you even ask him for the money, and not only that, if you wait till to ask him for the right time, if you don't ask for the money early, he'll pay you double or triple or whatever it is, then you never take a collateral. You never do it because you know the guy's going to either pay you back beforehand, and if he pays you back on time, he'll pay you back double or triple. There's no, certainly you wouldn't take it. Because if that's the case, they asked Rebbeinu Shlomo for collateral when Rebbeinu Shlomo is giving us. When Faranu Makir Masan Agoswa Tevi Tuva Godol Ba'ovar Bohive Veshu Meshalam Vor Kiyum Amitzah Shemenol Lechaber Shemenol Lemochem Mitzchar Sheinon Yichrem Latarit Shel Atzmenu Bidimyenenu. As it says, Ayin Leirol Shel Kimzul Asech Yas Machakalai to ask Rebbeinu Shlomo to give us a collateral for something that Rebbeinu Shlomo has given us so much already, and we know he's going to pay us back, then it's ridiculous, pashut, to even ask him. And the final reason he says is, Apir Chashvi says, Shrei Odom HaMashkin Es Chaviri, Inu Oysa Zay Selach Rei Sheish Becholtoi Lahamir L'Rishut Chaviri, Es HaDovar, Shetmuros Yelokach Menor Es HaMashkin. A person only takes a mashkin from somebody if he gave him something in place of the mashkin. If you gave him something that's worth the mashkin, you gave somebody $10,000, so Mamela, you take the mashkin, a collateral, a gold watch, as a guarantee for the $10,000 that you gave him. But if you're not giving him $10,000, then you can't ask him for a collateral. So how does it pass that Avla Odom HaMashkin HaSaburi Yizbarach Bazeh Shum Mavakish Menim Reish Es Tevetzav Arei Ein Lo Yisei Yechel Esam Alayis Es Tafkid Mishim Mutalim Lav Tumor Es Tevet Elu. Yes, Rebbeinu Shlalom, I need the $10 million till the end of life. You could give the Rebbeinu Shlalom whatever it is for the $10 million. You're Chavis. You'll be fulfill your obligations that equals these $10 million. You have no, it's not B'yadcha to do such a thing. Only if you gave somebody the money up front and then you take the mashkin afterwards, then it makes sense that you take a mashkin. However, to go ask Rebbeinu Shlalom for a mashkin and you're not going to be able to give him the thing that you're taking the mashkin for, you're not going to be able to fulfill your obligations, that it's a chutzpah to do such a thing. Shrei afilu adam shu tzadik inu pareya tachavis mutal malav avar ateva shalakim eiti vimai elayde shalakim oizu lai lasi zayis. The only way that a person can fulfill his obligation to the Rebbeinu Shlalom, even if he's a tzadik, is only if the Rebbeinu Shlalom helps you. You can't do it yourself. Only if the Rebbeinu Shlalom, even to pay your back your obligation to the Rebbeinu Shlalom who's giving you this money, is only when the Rebbeinu Shlalom gives you the help to do such a thing. Then he says something interesting. He says, like one of the chassidim would say when he's a mishabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, "Afilu hamaskil ha'omer abdulaska v'tervesecho, loy b'maisef hu mizbor, ala b'shimcho v'rachamecho." Even somebody who is able to be aimed on the greatness of the Rebbeinu Shelenu, he's not mizbor in his own maisim, he's mizbor in the Rebbeinu Shelenu. Shechsharta es levo v'iladas v'eskho. Shrei tzidkusam shel kol b'nei Yisrael nirach bezosecho. Nobody ever, so somebody that really is not going to Rebbeinu Shlalom will never take credit for whatever he does. Even if he did tremendous things for Klal Yisrael, tremendous things for Rebbeinu Shlalom, he realizes that it's only because the Rebbeinu Shlalom gave him the kishrin and gave him the yichurlis to do it that he's able to do it. And Mameli never takes pride in the fact that he did it, he takes pride in the fact that he has the Rebbeinu Shlalom who's helping him to do it. The story with the Chavetz Chaim. One time they heard him making a cheshbon nefesh. He says, "Rebbeinu Shlalom, what have you given me?" "You've given me so much. What have I given you back? You give me the Mishnah Brura. You gave me the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, Mishmir Saloshin. You gave me Radin Yeshiva. You gave me that I wrote Nitzchei Yisrael for the soldiers. You gave me so many talmidim that I have. And what did I give you back, Rebbeinu Shlalom?" Said, "If you were there, Chavetz Chaim would say, 'Rebbeinu Shlalom, look what I gave you back. I give you Shmir Zaloshin, I give you Nitzchei Yisrael, I give you Mishnah Brura, I give you, look how many Svarim I give you Likutei Halachas, I give you Radin Yeshiva, I give you." That's exactly what the Chavetz Chaim is saying. Even something, V'ani B'roiv Chazdecho Ovei B'Yisecho. We come to Shul and we think, "Oh, Rebbeinu Shlalom, I came to Shul early today, I daven like a mensch, you owe me one." No, V'ani B'roiv Chazdecho Ovei B'Yisecho. It's only in your chesed that I have the Yechilis B'chol to daven. That which I have the Yechilis to learn, that which I have the Yechilis to do for Klal Yisrael, that which I have the Yechilis is only in your in the tzchus of the koyach that you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, give to me.